All right, Lambrick. Good to be with you today. Have a rare opportunity. I'm here this morning with Janet. And if you haven't met me, I'm Scott, so welcome to Lambrick. And we are on our last Sunday in our fall series on hearing God's voice. In truth, I was supposed to be sitting probably at a Zoom table with Danny McDougall, but Daniel's not doing well this week. Many of you know Daniel's been battling a journey relative to or experiencing vertigo for a little over a year, going through treatment, and it's in a hard space right now, and I want to let you know and ask you to be praying with us. The elders and I were talking and praying this week for Daniel. We wanted to let you know about it, so let's be praying for Daniel and Sandy McDougall as he is in the process of treatment, has good care, but it's in a hard place right now. So as I stepped into the week, Daniel and I were talking about whether we would expand the conversation and invite Janet to join us. And then Daniel stepped out, and here we are, get to be me and Janet. The nice thing about us being husband and wife, shares of a household, is we don't have to be on Zoom or wearing masks. Yay.
Yay.
So that's awesome. Let's pray, and we'll step into this conversation. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the privilege of being your children. We thank you for your mercy and grace toward us, above all in Jesus, how you have spoken to us in Christ, and how you continue to speak by your Spirit in every age, God, as you are our shepherd loving us. Thank you for Janet and the gift it is to invite her into this kind of closing conversation today on the series and the things that we'll get to talk about together. God, we give this to you and we ask that you would lead us, our hearts, our minds, that what we share today would be helpful for the equipping of your church, the encouragement and building up of your people today as we all seek to hear, to listen and hear and follow your voice. In faith that it's your word that gives life, God. So guide us now. We give you ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as we have allowed John chapter 10 to be the anchor point for this series, I want us to come back and read a verse there that is our center. Jesus says to the disciples, the crowds in John chapter 10, he says, John 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So that's what we've been talking about all fall. What does it mean to say that our God is a God who speaks? How do we listen? And especially, how do we know God's voice? How do we know when we're hearing God's voice? What does that look like? I've invited Janet to be a part of this with us today, and I'm really glad to have her in this. Over the years, as Janet has followed Christ, she has grown into someone that I am deeply convinced listens and hears God's voice. That's a part of who she is, and I'm thankful for that. So, glad to have her contribute to us today. We have talked through this a bit, and we're going to do our best. We don't have it really mapped out word for word. It's just some questions that are going to guide us, and I trust this will be helpful for us. It's nice to have another person's voice, another person's experience. We all seek to listen to the same God, but who we are, our wiring, our DNA means that we hear in a different way, and we practice listening in different ways. So, yeah, glad to have Jan. Anything else by introduction worth saying? No?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's good. All right. Cool. Okay. So so when we were talking about this, you a number of times came back to talking about a foundation or a starting point for you in reference to hearing God's voice, to listening for God's voice. Talk to us about what that foundation is for you.
Two things, as my husband often says. The first being that God wants to speak to me, and the second being that what God says for me is good for me, would be the foundations for me.
And how did that, how did you come to that as your foundation?
Experiences and teaching. God speaks to me. I know that from experiences in my life. And what he says is for my good, also from experience and from teaching that I've had over my life. Just a couple days ago, I was reading in Romans 6, and this book that I'll talk to you about later. And it was talking about how it's easy to think of freedom in Christ as freedom to do whatever we want. And I think when I was little or younger, as a teen, I knew this freedom and kind of exploited it, but also I was just afraid of God, afraid that what he was going to, if I really listened to him, what he was going to say was not going to be for my good. It was...
oppressive.
Oppressive.
Limiting, restrictive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was reading, actually, in Romans 6, this line from the Message. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourself to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. And when I talk about experience of coming to know that God's voice is for my good, I can look back over my life where I did not trust his voice, and I chose these acts of freedom that led me into bondage, into areas of life where I felt trapped and I felt sick of myself and my situation. And yeah, horrible. So, and the more that I began in my walk to trust his voice and trust his commands that were for my good, the more liberating life became for me. So that's how come I feel like I have this conviction that God's voice is for my good. Not saying that I always obey it, but I'm trying to more. But I do have this conviction due to experience and teaching.
Just last night, I had a text from a pastor friend saying, oh, I'm having a hard week. Oh, I'm in the midst of it, struggling to clarify the message that I need to bring to my church. And I wrote back something that God has just said to me so many times over the years that connects to your first foundation of God wants to speak to us. That that I said to him, you can have hope because God wants to speak to your church more than you want to hear his voice.
Right.
Like we're the ones, we long for God's voice because God wants to speak to us. So that's a, that is a foundation. That's great. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So thank you, Jan. That's a good start.
Okay.
Talk to us about the role that others have played in your journey of learning to listen for and hear God's voice. Because for most of us, well, for all of us, others play a role. And it's not just us alone in our prayer closet, though that is a place where we might listen. But it's through the model, the example, the experiences with others, with that we grow in this. So what's that?
Well, yeah,
what are some stories that come to mind for you?
It's like confirmation, right? When you start bringing other people into the mix. So when I was a teenager, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and we had, you know, lots of teaching on listening and hearing and following. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, lots of like, I had a sermon prepared, but God has told me we're just going to do testimonies today. Anyway, stuff like that. You know, there's lots of examples of people saying, God told me this and God told me this. And
Yeah.
So I remember distinctly one Sunday, it's a long altar call, which also happened Sunday nights. That's right. We went to church twice on Sunday. But anyways, Sunday night, altar call, and I'm sitting there, music's going, I don't know how long I've been there, and I really felt like I needed to go and pray for this girl. I could see her, she was sitting closer to the front, had her head down, and I'm going to say I actually don't even remember who she was, but all I remember is that I didn't really like her, which gives you a little input into who I was as a teenager.
All are like
that. Well, okay. But so I remember looking at her and just the sense like, oh, I got to go pray for her. I don't want to go and pray for her. And I was fighting it. I don't know if you've experienced this sense of fighting with God over something, but it doesn't feel good in your body. And so I was like, fine, I'll go. So I went over, I sat down, I put my arm around her, and I said, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. And she started crying, and she said, you know, I was just saying to God, will you please to show me that somebody cares about me. Mm. And it was, wow, such a experience for me of being like, wow, I heard God say something to me. And also this sense of, wow, God's using me, even though I didn't want to do it. Like God still chose to use me, which was profound grace for him to do, and such a encouragement for me and for her. That was one experience where I felt like it was a leap for me of of recognizing that God speaks to me.
Yeah. And interesting how you needed to obey the voice to be able to experience the revelation of, wow, God did speak to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't until you'd gone over and prayed for her and heard her response that you were able to say, oh, you did. You did speak to me. And that's awesome.
And you have a
story. I totally think of. So I'm sure I've told the story before, but it's worth repeating. I was in college and I was working at a Christian summer camp. And I had a week where I had a kid who was adamant there was no God, and he was very against all the little, like, you know, God talk times and chapel times, and was just a big grump. And he's a preteen kid, probably 12 or something like that, 12 or 13. And somewhere in the middle of that week, we've been having kind of an end of the night conversation as a whole cabin. We'd been to Fireside, someone had given a talk, we'd kind of debriefed together and prayed together. But this young guy, his name is Brian, just silent, radio silence and no interest in anything. And it finally is, it's dark, it's quiet, everyone's kind of slipping away into sleep, but I'm having this conversation with God, and I just feel like God is saying to me to say something to Brian. And I'm like, this is awkward. He hasn't even been engaging in the conversation. But I feel like I need to. And so I just said into the dark, I said, hey, Brian, you still awake? He's like, yeah. I said, I feel like I need to tell you, I feel like God wants me to tell you that if you want to know him, all you do, all you need to do is say, I want to know you. And then just seek to get to know Jesus. That's it. He said, thanks. Good night. And that's it. Went to sleep. And a couple days later, it's the end of the week, and we kind of debrief on the week together. I go for a little walk with each of the guys and ask them about what their week meant for them. And he says to me, I believe there's a God now. I'm like, whoa, what happened? And he tells me about how a couple nights before, he's laying in bed after a fireside. We've had conversations, and it's all quiet now, and he's going to sleep. And inside himself, he says to the God he doesn't know is there, and says, if you're real, I need to know how I can know you. And in the midst of that moment, you spoke up and said, hey, Brian, I feel like God is telling me to tell you, if you want to know him, all you need to do is ask and then get to know Jesus. And so similar to yours, there's a sense of like, God spoke to me, but I didn't really realize it. I didn't experience the beauty of it until I took that step of faith, shared it, and in the process, I found my faith kind of blow up in a beautiful way as God also spoke to someone else. So yeah, God uses others in our listening journey. There's someone else that's been a significant mentor for you, and I think it's just worth maybe sharing a story from how the influence they've had in your life or something.
So in my early 20s, I knew this woman at our church who I really admired, and I admired her as someone who was passionate for God. Mm-hmm. But also who had a kind of a messy history. Her name was Barb Borthistle, and she was just...
Shout out to Barb Borthistle.
Barbie! actually, we never called her Barbie. Her name is Barb Borthistle. Anyways, she was very vulnerable at a point in our church, and I just saw, wow, this is somebody I so admire, but she has been on a journey, and I know I've been on a journey, and I want to get to know what she knows about God, and I want her to teach me. So I went to her and I asked if she'd mentor me, and she said, you know, actually, there's a few people who have asked me, so why don't we form a group? So we started this group. We called ourselves the Doorkeepers. There's a long story about that. But
from a psalm about being in God's presence. Yeah,
that's we'll not the story. Yeah, that's okay. Good. So... Okay, we'd been meeting a few months, And she was teaching us about hearing God's voice and about prayer. And we were practicing it together as a group, praying for one person at a time and you know, trying to listen for maybe some scripture for the person or have an image in our head for the person. And as we were practicing this as a group, it was really cool seeing like, oh, I think I saw this image, and somebody would say, I saw that too. And okay, so we're building in confidence that we're seeing things, we're hearing things from God, we're being told scripture. Anyways, it's the first time for Barb to get prayed for. And all of us are feeling a little bit like, okay, this is going to be a good one. Like we're going to get something good from God.
Better do it good.
Oh yeah, because it's for Barb, right? And it's the first time we're pouring into her. And so I'm praying and I'm like, okay, God, give me something good. Give me something powerful, like some scripture. And other people are saying beautiful things and, you know, visions and scripture. And all I'm hearing in my head is the word hyena. And I've told this story to a bunch of you before, but I'm like, no, that's not it. So I'm trying to push that out of my mind. Stop thinking about hyenas. Why?
Something about mercy. Something about glory.
Yeah. Something from Isaiah about, you know, springs in the wilderness. No, nothing. Hyena is all I'm getting. I've been quiet for a long time while all this other beautiful stuff is happening. And I said, okay, Barb, I've been asking and this is the only thing I'm getting. I'm sorry. Mm. But it's the word hyena. And she started crying and she said, that is exactly what I wanted to hear. That is exactly what I've been asking God for. I don't totally remember why. I think it was something about her relationship with God, wanting it to be more joyful and playful. I'm not quite sure, but I just remember her crying and it being like an important word for her. This word that I thought was just ridiculous, and I didn't want to say.
How did that impact you?
Oh, it was so impactful that I was hearing God's voice. And B, that sometimes it sounds ridiculous in your head, and then you say it out to somebody, and sometimes that's happened, and they've been like, I don't know what that means. You're going to be like, okay, forget it then. I don't know. But then there have been other times where it's like, wow, that is exactly what I wanted to hear. And it's,
It's a good example, too, of just the role of community in hearing God's voice, that you're offering. You're seeking to listen to God's voice and share what he is saying to you. Your sense of it involves others affirming, listening with you. Okay. Hey, Barb. Thank you, Barb.
Well,
she did far more than just that. Obviously, had a big, big impact on you, who you are.
Yeah, I think that it's hard to grow in listening by yourself. I think I think it's a lot faster and easier to grow in relationship with somebody else and be listening for someone else, so you can bounce things off them and ask. Yeah,
and that's not. I'll just say that's not just a principle for listening for personal words. That's also a good principle for reading scripture, God's word in scripture, and our listening to understand what God is saying through his word. We need to be in conversation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep moving forward.
Yes.
Both of us love talking. So there's so much we can say. It's good. We'll try to stay on task here. Talk to me about the role the Bible, talk to us about the role that the Bible has played in your journey of listening for and hearing God's voice.
So when I was a teenager, I had this strong compulsion that I needed to read my Bible every day. I did the whole reading through the Bible in a year stuff, and I did that, but it was like this moral checklist. Like, I know that I'm not really serving God in all these other areas of my life, but if I'm at least reading my Bible before I go to bed, I'm a good Christian, and I can check that box off for myself. And it was pretty dead to me. Like, I would read it. Maybe there was a couple lines I was like, oh, that's pretty, or oh, that's powerful. But I will say there was some boundaries that it put around me that I think that if I wasn't reading my Bible at that time, I would have gone right off the rails. So I am very thankful that I had that, at least that kind of rote experience. But then I got out of my teens and I kind of got out of the rhythm of this daily thing. Plus, it didn't really mean much to me. And we were married for quite some time, and I really longed for consistent Bible time. And I, you know, I've heard other people talking about their time, and it just felt helpless. Like, I can't do it. Every time I try, I fall asleep, or it's just not meaningful to me, or I don't know where to start, or all this stuff. And we had a woman come to share at our church, and I asked her, where would you tell me to start? And she said, pulled out this book from her backpack. She said, how about this? Try this book, the Celtic Book of Daily Prayer. And I was like, okay. And I've talked to you guys about this before, but that's where I started. I started reading this. And I think what that did for me was it gave me other people's prayers to pray.
So it's a daily prayer book that has scripture and ancient prayers.
Yes.
That kind of often relate to the liturgical season a bit too.
Yes. Yeah. But what it showed me was how to have your prayer influenced by your scripture and kind of taught me how to pray with scripture, I guess. Hmm. And then I did a number of other books that all were on that theme of reading a certain scripture and praying prayers based on that scripture you've just read.
And I'll just say this for context. Yeah. This is like 2007. We've got a 3-year-old and Carter's just born or so chaotic early family mom days. Hard to find quiet, extended times of leisure and stillness.
Yeah. Every day there was TV time.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, Carter would nap. Olivia would have Dora the Explorer. Something.
Yeah. Something to drive us nuts.
And I would nap, and I would take some time to read the Bible. Mm. And suddenly, that was like my favorite time of day, of course, because there was a nap involved, and the kids were settled, and then it became this beautiful, what's happening?
That's okay, just making sure this is still recording.
Okay. Thing that I love to do. And now, I mean, that time's changed for me, but it's still something that I look forward to. But it's something, like, you can't just, it's hard to just fabricate it out of, like, what?
Yeah, I almost think of it as, like, it was tricycle or training wheels for you.
Yeah.
Because you said to me the other day, you know, I prayed someone else's prayers for a season.
Yeah.
And then I started having my own words for my own life, my own experience. And then no longer needed the training wheels, though really appreciated the life of it. And then that grew into other things.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Sometimes, I mean, that's why like the gift of the Lord's Prayer is a gift in learning to pray, because you pray Jesus' prayer and then it becomes your prayer and then you grow from there.
Yeah.
And it becomes that kind of base note that you keep coming back to. And
I will also say there's a space in our home that I went to for this that was beautiful, that I couldn't see all the mess and the clutter and all the tasks that I had to do.
We had young kids.
Looking out the front window.
You probably just turned away from all the chaos.
I turned away. Oh, it was still there. Right. I turned away. I didn't clean it up before I spent time with God. It was like, but I chose a space where I couldn't see it. So, and we have a candle and we still have this. We have a space where it's a beautiful space that we've made beautiful. And we have a candle that we light, and it's a compelling place to go. If it's just like, I don't know, you know, on your kitchen table staring at your dishes, it might not be a compelling place that you want to spend time in.
Though you're, I would say as well, like you often prayed while you're doing the dishes and stuff too. So I think prayer, we need to establish rhythms and places. I think that all values, but also it's just a need in our life too, and our listening to God. And I'm sure there were seasons where my prayer life was as much at, 2 a.m. sitting on the stairs while the kids are finally falling back asleep and I'm begging God to speak to me. And I can tell you stories on that.
Yeah.
As it is also on those idyllic moments with a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Those, I think it's worth thinking, how do you cultivate habits? Yeah. And sometimes it's worth building kind of a collection of habits that are bound together, of a time and a place and a good cup of coffee or whatever it is that also helps it.
Anyways, I went off script.
Oh, that was good. It was good.
Okay.
All right. So what is just one, if someone was just longing to become someone who hears God's voice, what is one piece of advice you would want to give them from your own experience?
Okay. So I would say get your hands on this book. This is called the Solo Devotional, and it is Lectio. So Lectio Divina is an ancient practice of how to read scripture with the message. So very...
I have a copy of it that's in... So it's the Bible. This is the Message translation. I have a copy of it that's the ESV, the English Standard Version translation.
But this isn't a Bible. It's a devotional book.
Right.
Right.
But it has... It's on one side of the page is a portion of scripture you're reading. And the other side of the page is a guide of prayers and questions to help you listen with your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would recommend this book because this has been, I've been using it for 2 years now, and it's every day I feel like I hear God speak to me through this because it's through scripture, it's through questions and struggles and prayers, but I feel like this book specifically is really good at saying, consider this, but it's also really good at saying, you know what? It's okay. You didn't hear anything? It's okay. You're frustrated and angry with God? You know what? Voice that to him. That's okay. And it's consistently saying things like that to me. So I feel it's a very safe learning space. So you can get it just the New Testament, or you can get the whole Bible, Amazon.
Yeah, the Christian Book Room has it. You can also get a digital copy of it for Kindle and stuff too. I actually, after 6 months of watching Janet use it on a daily basis, said, I want one too. So I have it and use it. And
actually,
it's been
a
wonderful.
Actually, it was your dad that introduced us to it.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have been. Yay, Dad.
Yay, Dad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the gift of something like that, a resource like that, is that it helps you both engage with Scripture. But with that, bring your heart and your life to it. So it's not just, okay, what does it say? But there's a guide there that helps you listen with your experience, what the struggles of this day, what the fears are under the surface that you're walking through, whatever. I think it helps you connect what God's saying in Scripture with what is going on in your own life. And I love it. All right.
So what's something, if you're doing this, what's something that God has said to you recently through your time?
Yeah, I have been going to counseling for the last month. It's been, as it is for many people, this is a really challenging season, and I have, for lots of reasons, found myself kind of grinding, about a month ago, just kind of grinding down into the ground, feeling pretty worn down physically, mentally, emotionally, starting to get a bit touchy with my kids, quick to anger, and less confident in just facing the day and the challenge of the thing, feeling overwhelmed a lot, and just signs of, you know, struggle. And I was reading, the passage was about David, and I think it's Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, is in a place of need. And there's a servant who is under David, who is tasked to care for Mephibosheth. And as I reflected on the text and just sat there with it, it asked me questions about, you know, where I see myself in the story and who I relate to. And I just felt like Mephibosheth. I think I'm saying his name right. I felt so needy and tired. And there was a lot going on. And in the midst of it, I said to God, God, what are you asking of me? I feel named here. What are you asking of me? And honestly, I just felt in my soul these three simple words: ask for help. And those words, simple words, not very wildly spiritual seeming.
No hyena.
no King James-ishness to it. It's just ask for help. But honestly, it was God's word to me, and I think it's a word that's really carried with me for the last month. It led me to reach out to a counselor and engage with a wonderful Christian counselor who's been a real gift and a good listener and good question asker. It's helped me reach out to some friends with some intentionality, helped me take a day off and just slow down a little bit. And it's been a word that's really carried me over this month, and I think a defining word in this moment for me. So that's one thing. That's one word that God said to me recently that's been significant. How about for you, Janet?
Can I just say that, you know, something interesting about having a a spouse that listens to God is that I think I said to you a number of times over the last few months, you need to ask for help.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's true. Yeah, you did. Yeah, but, over months.
But I, you know what? I learned pretty early in our marriage that if I was trying to say something with Scott and I felt like it wasn't getting through, I would ask God to say it to Scott. And and sometimes I would even say, honey, you need to go for a walk with God. And sure enough, he would come back from that walk and be like, you know what God just said to me? Mm. Blah, blah, blah. The thing that I've been, not that I'm saying, I'm speaking, you know, God's words, but
it's good to have another voice.
It is good to have another voice.
Anyways,
okay. And sometimes you it needs to be God saying it to you, right?
Yeah. I could explain why I didn't before, but there was a certain, sense of when I sensed God saying to me, it's like, why would I not? Why would I not now?
Right.
So, yeah. Though probably would have been good to have done it when you asked me. But anyways.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
How about for you? Okay. Is there something you feel like God's been saying to you?
I don't have this like one thing like you do. Because I just feel like God's saying different things to me each day. Like this morning, God was talking to me about grace and how all of my life is a grace and how what my identity is in him. And yesterday, God was talking about, that he is as close to me as the tongue in my mouth, as the heart in my chest.
Mm.
Beautiful. And the day before, nothing can come between me and God's love for me. Nothing that I can imagine could ever come between me and God's love. So as you can see, I'm flipping through my pages here because this is how God speaks to me. It's like, each day there's something that he's telling me through his word. And
yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think that's a part of this that matters. We were talking today about how, you know, if I were to say to you, you know, talk to me about your experience of food, you know, you could easily, your mind would run to like that amazing steak and that rub that you make and so good. But the truth is we eat every day and our relationship, our experience of hearing God's voice is not just about the big epic moments, the big decisions of our lives. It's about a life with God, being in conversation with God, listening to God in his word, listening to God with our life, with our soul, in our relationships. And here and there, there's a word or there's a meal that really stands out.
Yeah.
But it's sustained by that living, ongoing, little by little conversation and listening. So, yay. I'm glad that's what your answer was. It was good. All right. We're near the end here. Okay, as we come to the end of the series, there's so much more we could have talked about over these last 2 months. But I just, for you, what's one thing that you feel like still needs to be said, maybe, or you think needs to be emphasized as we come to the end of this focus on listening to God's voice, hearing God's voice?
Thank you for asking. Something that I find difficult in this whole area of hearing God's voice is honestly when somebody says to me, God told me this for you, or I got this from God for you.
Mm.
Because instantly I have this like, if it's from God, I can't disagree.
Mm.
I can't challenge it. I can't,
question it.
Yeah. Like it's just kind of like conversation shut down. Mm. You just got to do this.
Mm. So is there a specific of, especially when it's directive, like you're supposed to do this, God's telling me you're supposed to do this or
yeah.
this is, yeah.
I think what I try to say and what I love when people say to me is, I think God might have said this for me for you. Mm. It's this posture of humility of, I know I'm fallible in hearing God's voice. I know I got lots of voices going on.
Mm.
But I think God has given me this for you. Mm. What do you think? Mm. Or, I just feel like this is something that God is saying. Have you heard that?
Mm.
So this posture of humility that I think we always need, when talking with ourselves about what we're hearing from God. Like, this is why it's important to have other people to talk through what you feel like you're hearing from God. And always when talking to somebody else about what you feel God is saying for them, this a posture of humility is necessary.
it makes me think of in Gordon, when I studied at Regent College under Gordon Smith, and he often talked about the story in the Gospels where the rich young ruler story, and Jesus tells him to give away everything. And then the next story in the Gospel is the story of Zacchaeus. Mm. And Zacchaeus encounters God, and his saving experience of the Gospel leads him to give away half of all of his possessions. And Gordon Smith would always talk about, you wonder if the rich young ruler had kind of followed along behind the crowd and with this sense that, like, everyone's got to give away everything. Mm. And he listens in and hears him say, I'm going to give away half of all that I have. He's like, what? No, you have to give away everything. And, right. And I think it's a great example that God's word to you might not be God's word to another person. Now, there are many things that in Scripture are clear to us and evident for all of us. But when we're talking about hearing God's personal direction, right, God's personal invitation that are maybe within the bounds of God's clear instruction to all of us, that there's a need for a real open-handed humility that invites others to discern with us.
Yeah.
We don't take away someone else's responsibility to discern. Mm. We invite them to discern with us. Mm-hmm. So you have a task when you're speaking it to someone else to just do your best to discern what God is saying, but you're also inviting them to mm-hmm. discern rather than just imposing on them something that you are convinced God has said.
Right.
Yeah. So humility. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think.
What about you?
Well, I could linger on that, but we'll not. I think for me, as we come to the close of this series, the one thing I want to say to you as my friends and our church is that there's an aspect of this that I think probably often makes us all anxious. Talking about hearing God's voice, we all at times feel inadequate in this conversation. And some of us that much more. We feel like we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to hear God's voice. And so talking about it, though initially maybe inspiring and speaks to a hunger in our heart, we feel more and more like, oh, I'm not doing it well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to come back again and again to the language that God uses so often in Scripture around hearing his voice. And it's this language of this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd. And in that, to pay attention to the reality that the primary worker, leader, the primary person in that relationship is the shepherd. Mm-hmm. That what is needed is not that the sheep feel like they know everything. They know how to do this. They know where to go. Mm-hmm. But the sheep are attentive to the one who knows everything and knows where to go. Mm-hmm. And that we don't need to be anxious, but because we can trust mm-hmm. the wisdom, the love, and the competence of the shepherd.
Right.
You were reading something recently on that connects to that. So I want us to close with having you share that piece.
Last Sunday night, we were supposed to do another one of our Sunday night
together
times. And I was going to lead a lectio on John 10, on this passage. And I would encourage you all to read the whole passage. But it talks about God being our shepherd, him being a gate, and the sheep calling to the sheep and the sheep knowing his voice. And that other people try to call the sheep, but the sheep don't listen to them because they listen to the shepherd. And a couple years ago, I heard at a conference this woman, Margaret Feinberg, and she wanted to spend some time kind of exploring different metaphors that she kept seeing popping up in the Bible. So she spent time with a vintner to learn about wine, and a farmer to learn about the harvest, a beekeeper about honey, and a shepherdess to learn about being a shepherd. And she talked about, you know, going to visit this shepherdess, and I'll just call her shepherd. And she said, let's go see the sheep. Okay, so they start out into the field. She puts on these massive rubber boots and is feeling quite unattractive, but she's like clonking through all this mud, and they're going through all these gates. And every time they go through a gate, the shepherd locks it and then double checks it, makes sure it's locked. And Margaret's asking her, what's the big deal? And she said, well, the gate not only keeps out the neighbor dogs, which are actually quite dangerous for the sheep, but they keep the sheep in because sheep, if they get out, they will gorge themselves on greener grass. They'll gorge themselves on what they find, and they will die. They get this gas, and they end up on their backs, and they'll die and very quickly, like within 24, 48 hours. So it's for the sheep's protection that there is a gate, which I think, I mean, Think on that. Anyway, so they keep going up through all these gates, and they're walking, 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 more gates, more fields. Finally, they go over this hill, and they see all these sheep, kind of, she said, like confetti around the hill. And the shepherd starts whispering about, okay, that one's named this, and that one's... And Margaret's thinking, well, she says, why are you whispering? And the shepherd says, oh, they'll come running as soon as they hear my voice. And Margaret's like, okay, I think you're taking that a bit too far. But then she has what she calls a paramount moment in her spiritual adventure. That's in her book. She said she started kind of panicking, thinking, what if this shepherd speaks and the sheep don't listen? Mm. Like, what will that mean to this metaphor that I'm studying? What will it mean?
Is this about to fall apart?
Is it going to fall apart? Like, if she does speak, if she stops whispering and does speak and they don't run, or there's one sheep that doesn't listen, what does that mean?
Mm.
She starts kind of panicking. And then the shepherd says, sheep, 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 just with a strong, clear voice. Sheep, sheep, sheep. And suddenly, they all start like rushing up to her, tumbling over each other and just like running up to this.
Just the sound of her voice.
The sound of her voice.
Mm.
All, from all over this hillside, not one sheep left.
Mm.
They all came running. So the question is, are you afraid that you will miss the voice of your shepherd?
Mm.
Do you have something in your life where you need discernment and guidance, and you are afraid that you're going to miss it and do the wrong thing? Can we remind you that you are dealing with a good shepherd who loves you, whose desire is for you to hear his voice, who puts the pressure in this relationship you have with him on himself?
Hmm.
He says, you can trust me. I am the shepherd. I'm the one that speaks, and I will teach you how to hear me. Yeah.
All right. Let's pray with that. That's a good place to stop. So, Laura, we just bow before you. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you, God. Thank you that you are our good shepherd. And as you say to us, Jesus, in John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As we thank you, God, for this fall. Thank you for this opportunity for us to talk together as a community about your voice, to talk together about some of the foundations of what your voice sounds like, how we know the sound, the reality of your voice, what it looks like to listen. And we just say to you again, as we said to you on our first Sunday, Lord, teach us to listen. And Lord, we are your servants. Speak, Lord, to us. Lord, as we step into Advent, in these days, as our world lives in Advent, in a season of aching for renewal, Lord, we just join our voice with your people down through the ages and with the heart of every person on this earth and say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. We long for your word to give life, to bring order out of chaos. We long for your word to be spoken over the tomb of Lazarus, what is dead, in us and around us, and to bring forth resurrection life.
Mm-hmm.
We long for the sound of your voice to cover the world like the waters cover the world, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, and continue to take our hands and turn our vision towards you, our good shepherd, where we are fearful, where we are anxious. Give us hope, God, that you love us, that you are guiding us, that you will guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord, that it is in your interest to guide us, God, for your glory and for our good. Thank you today. We thank you today for Janet, your grace and mercy in her, the gift of having her participate in this conversation today. Thank you for those who we've named today and others in each of our lives who you are using, have used, are using, will use as mentors, disciplers in the way of Jesus. And we ask, God, that you would lead us and make us that for others. Amen.
Amen.